Rangi Maitama is with us, and I know he's a bit sort of shy because everyone's calling him the Kiwi of the Year, which is a pretty big rap, isn't it? But he's a humble man, and while he's happy to share the love, so to speak, I'm sure he doesn't do what he does to get tohu, hoano. People want to thank him, and I do too. So here he is, the Kiwi Bank New Zealander of the Year. I hope they gave you a big dosh of cash in Kiwi Bank for the tohu there. Rangi, thanks for joining us on the show. Tēnā koe.
Morena, morena, Dale. Kei te pehe a koe.
Kei te pai, Rangi. Thank you so much for your time. Look, mate, I think you're a very, very deserving recipient of that sort of acknowledgement. You and I have been talking for years, haven't we? Since your koro gave you that puka puka. I don't know how many years it was now, but you know, you were able to try and understand it, unravel it, and then share it with a wider interest, Māori, yes, but also non-Māori, have taken a shine to a whole lot of things that they didn't know of before, as far as Māori history of astronomy is concerned. So, congratulations. Bit humbling for you, though, ehoa?
Thank you, ehoa. Very humbling, very overwhelming, actually. I was in the same category. The others in the group were John Kirwan, the top twins, and Ruby Tui. And never in my wildest dreams that I think my name would get called out. And, you know, the accomplishments of the others, they are icons of the country. So I actually was sitting at the table right at the moment thinking, who ate my pudding? I haven't eaten my pudding, and I was looking for my pudding, and someone called out my name. So I was really overwhelmed. But yeah, it's an amazing, you know, honor. Just to be nominated was incredible, but just to be actually named as the person who holds this award, and it is humbling.
Tēnā koe. Who got your pudding?
I'm pretty sure it was my Uncle Pau Tēmara. I'm pretty sure he stole my pudding and ate it while I was elsewhere. But, you know, I think the award kind of took my appetite away anyway.
Well, congratulations. So what's next? We've brought all this information on stage. And I want to touch on an issue. The doctrine of discovery, which you'll be familiar with, it's impacted so much on the colonisation process globally, came off the back of the church. And there has been debate about our scientific knowledge as Mātauranga, as a First Nations Indigenous people, Rangi. But prior to this period of scientific discovery, which isn't that old, is it? We had a situation that was very religiously based and spiritual, and but now, in order to get validation, we need to go through what's called the scientific rigor. But that's relatively new when we consider how long Māori thought patterns have been in existence, and our sense of Mātauranga, our understanding of the natural world. So in that sense, the kōrero contained in the kaupapa that you advance is age-old. Is it age-old Māori science? And should we acknowledge that? Because the scientific rigour is relatively new when we look back and through the annals of time. Yeah?
No, yeah, te kōkito, you're exactly right. What I deal with is you know, I've seen people say, what I deal with is astrology. It's not astrology, it's astronomy. It's definitely astronomy. There is empirical science that underpins the practice of, you know, marking when Matariki rises, understanding when particular stars are setting, what the ecological correlating events will be. You know, let alone navigation, let alone determining what the weather is going to be based on other astronomical factors. So it is empirical science, and you're right, it is Māori science, but it's also, wrapped around it, and that knowledge base is this cultural understanding. And, you know, I think from a Western scientific perspective, what they try and do is strip back the culture from knowledge and just go straight to the answer. Now, that has benefits in some ways if you're just looking for the answers, but what the detriment it does have is people don't have a connection to that knowledge. They don't associate it to what they do. They don't apply it in their everyday practices. It just gets isolated to some lab where five people in lab coats and thick-rimmed spectacles are looking through a glass tube at a liquid. You know, there is no relationship to people. The beauty of Mātauranga Māori and our science is that knowledge base is given to people to apply, so they live it. And you know, Matariki in many ways is a great example of that. We have, you know, taken all of the so-called myths and legends, you know, notions off it, and they're saying, actually, you have to understand that Matariki is part of a intercalary system of time, of a lunar solar calendar system that's very, very detailed. And by understanding that science, we've actually reapplied it in our modern world to show that Mātauranga Māori is science. Actually, the practice of the holiday is recognising our Mātauranga Māori, our science. And what's come with it have all been all of those cultural practices. So, you know, that we actually stop a nation, a modern-day nation, one day of the year where they adhere to Mātauranga Māori. And for me, that is it's probably, for what I feel, the biggest... achievement for me is the fact that the nation will stop every year from now on to acknowledge Mātauranga Māori.
And I think it's pretty wonderful too. We're so often challenged to have an appropriate kupu to explain ourselves, and when we utilise kupu pāhā, we can shortchange ourselves too to try and fit into mainstream expectations, so they can have an explanation that sits comfortably with them. And you touched on the use of the term astrology and astronomy, quite different to each other, but sometimes people have a merging of them. One's looking at zodiacs, and one, as you say, is a very strong history. Do we suffer that we're forced to use a Pākehā terminology to explain ourselves, because I'm sure that if you were to share the whakaro I te reo Māori, it would take a different approach.
Very good.
Because very astrology... good. Anyway, please, just talk of that. I mean, we're not here to validate our taonga, to get the tick of approval from others, but so that they understand some of our conceptual thinking... we do use kupu pākehā. Is that difficult? Does that compromise the reality of what area you're working in?
No, it does, Dale. That's a very good point. Like, I wouldn't use astronomy. I wouldn't use astrology. I would use kōkorangi Māori. And kōkorangi Māori is how our ancestors studied and applied the stars. Now, there is a very strong empirical scientific base to that knowledge system. But also, it's part of our spirituality, it's part of our cultural practice, it's part of our cosmology, and you know, like any indigenous culture, in fact, all cultures originally around the world, they didn't separate them. They actually understood that they went hand in hand. It's really been since that scientific revolution, I guess, what we talked about earlier, all that, now we're having to, you're right, justify our position ourselves in a way that that non-Māori can understand what we are doing. And I think for now, that's probably how it has to be. But that's not the space I think we should stay in. I actually think I think there is a craving out there. There really is for Mātauranga Māori, but also the wider dimensions of what that means, not just by Māori, but from all people who are interested in indigenous knowledge systems. I think it's actually, there's been a little bit of a turning point. We've hit a point where we're actually starting to acknowledge the importance and the meanings of our knowledge systems. And so, like when we celebrated the launch of Matariki, there was science in there. Matariki was rising at a particular lunar month in a particular lunar phase, and so we knew it was the start of the Māori year. But we did karakia to the various deity who are connected to the rising of those stars in the hope that we were going to ensure a prosperous new year. So we merged the two together at the beginning of the holiday, and I hope that's symbolic of what this can be moving forward.
Tēnā koe. It's the Tuaiarurei this weekend. You're a tūhoi man. Are you going down to share the love, or are you putting your boots on, or are you going to take to the stage at all this time around there, Rangi?
Look, the Ahurei always, every time it's on, clashes with the raw. So I have this yearning to go back and chasing deer because they've started to roar already, so I'll be heading home tomorrow. And then on the weekend, I'll be coming out and I'll be heading to Waimana to celebrate with my tūhoi relations. But my days of getting on stage, e hoa, are long gone. My pupu is hanging up and retired.
Hey, that's cool. I don't know a lot about deer hunting. Tell us what stage we're at here. So you say the roar. Does that coincide with a lunar phase? Is this all intertwined?
No. The roar is when the stags start to they start to challenge each other as they really round up their hinds for mating season. So it's mating season. So
yeah, but that has a lunar dimension to it, doesn't it?
It does. And I actually think we're starting to come into there'll be a little bit of, usually the deer don't like the big moons. They're unlike a pig will like a big moon. A pig will root up the earth a lot more in the big moons. And I think that what that does is the water comes up through the soil and pushes the grubs and everything higher up in the soil, and the pigs root them up and eat them, so they're more active and on the move in the big moon. The deer don't like it. The deer are pretty shy in the big moons unless it's around the roar. Now, I've noticed that during the roar, I think the stags are quite active. They're roaring at each other. I think they've got their energy levels, the water and the energy of those big moons really helps them with their, with challenging each other. It's a time that they want to engage in combat and mate with the hinds, and so they're really quite vigorous at that time. And I'm hoping, I'm planning it right, as we get into these bigger moons coming on to the rest of this week, that I'll be roaring and they'll be roaring back at me, and I'll get lucky.
Well, I certainly hope that that's the case, and I'm pleased to be able to talk with you about our taonga, Matariki. Like you say, mate, it stamps us out as something unique as far as nations are concerned, that we pause and reflect on this Indigenous event. So congratulations once again for getting the Gongas Kiwi Bank New Zealander of the Year. You've just always been a good guy from our read, so thanks for that. We've got a sound that we might play for you, though. Oh, there we go. Want to get you excited a bit?
I heard that. Thank you, Dale. And hey, I just want to say thank you for all the support across the years, and allowing me to come on and for us to catch up, Ehoa. It's been an absolute honour, and I think my whole focus has been communicating astronomical knowledge to our people, and in the hopes that they'll have benefits, and you and the platform that you've allowed me to connect with other people on has been really important. And I want to give a mihi to you all, Dale, yourself in particular, but to Radio Wāte as well.
Thank you, Rangi. Thanks so much, man. Always a pleasure having a kōrero with you. Mauri ora kia koe.
Kia ora ewa.
Tēnā koe, Rangi. That's Professor Rangi Mātāmoa. He's got more beautiful names.